kind of revisiting in a sermon that I preached years ago, got to studying and thinking about this thing, and Lord kind of moved on it and give me some few different little points. But thank God, Jeremiah chapter 38, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. You know, I remember the first time I preached this, David, I said, if I told you I was going to preach on the Ethiopian eunuch, where would you go in your Bible? Most everybody would go to Acts. Amen. But there's others in the Bible besides that one. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 38, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Then Zephaniah, the son of Mattaiah, and the Gedaliah, and the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shebaiah, and Pashur, the son of Micaiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey, and they shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the kings of Babylon, Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in the city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them, for this man seeketh not the welfare of the people, but the hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not that he that can do anything against you. Then took they Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the prophet. He's the one that was preaching. Then took they Jeremiah, cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah the son of Hamelech that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords. And the dungeon, there was no water but mire, so Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now Abimelech the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. The king then sitting at the gate of Benjamin, Abimelech went forth into the king's house and spake unto the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. And the king commanded Abimelech the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Abimelech took the men with him, went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts, old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Abimelech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, God, for a good day that we've had, Lord. Thank you, God, for a good time in your house this morning in Sunday school, God. God, it was an awesome time in Sunday school. Thank you for the service this morning. Thank you for choir practice, God. Lord, and just being able to come together, God, in your house, God, to worship and glorify your holy name, Lord. Have your hand on us right now. Lord, encourage us tonight through your word, God. Lead us tonight through your word. And whatever's done, we'll praise you. We'll honor you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to pray. If I was going to title this, I'd title it, You've Got a Friend. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you didn't think you had no friends? Has the devil ever got you in a corner and said, they don't nobody love you. They don't nobody care about you. Them people at that church don't love you. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. And I, as I was thinking and studying on this, my mind went back to this poem. An old poem Edgar Guest wrote this years ago. And some of y'all going to remember this. Maybe some of you are hearing this for the first time. Listen to this. When things go wrong as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer as it twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with just one more blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint in the cloud of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick with the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Amen. I'm just going to go ahead. Job thought God was done with him. Amen. When Peter denied the Lord, Peter thought God was done with him. How many times have you gone through this life? And you? Let me ask you a question. How many of us has ever thought in your mind, well, God's done with me now? I done something stupid. I done said this. I done said that. God ain't going to ever use me again. That's the lie of the devil. Amen. I want you to notice a few things, and I'm going to preach real quick. Mike was talking about how we've been practicing since 5 o'clock, and amen, I've been practicing right there with them, amen, and now I got to preach. So you pray hard, and I'll preach fast. Amen. Jeremiah was cast into prison for doing what the Lord told him to do. Let me tell you something. The devil ain't going to fight you when you ain't doing nothing. Amen. The devil don't care if you're just sitting on the church pew. The devil don't care if you ain't ever ruffling the waters. Amen. Jeremiah was, they cast him into the prison. And then as I was reading this, David, we got to kind of get a picture in our mind. They cast him into the prison. Then they take him down to the dungeon part. And basically what this was, Brother Donald, was what we would call a cistern or a place that went straight down and where they would keep water, and they cast him into that part. For doing the word of God, no stairs, no door, no light. I mean, Jeremiah's down in a dark place. Jeremiah's down there, and where he feels there ain't no way out. You understand me? There ain't no way out. Jeremiah can't climb out. Jeremiah, there ain't no stairs. There ain't no rope. He's looking up. There ain't nobody there to help him. He's all by himself in a dark place. Sounds like some places we've all been. For doing God's word. He was suffering for what the Lord told him to do. Verse 2 says he was, thus saith the Lord. Verse 3, thus saith the Lord. He was just proclaiming what the Lord told him to proclaim. Ain't it amazing how we come in and have a great service on Sunday, and you go out on Monday morning and the devil jumps all over you. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, we come in, shouted. I'm talking about last week we come in. We had weekend before last, had 3 nights of the Easter play. I mean, we on a high. We on a spiritual. I mean, how we having a great time. How many of you the devil jumped up on you that Monday morning? For doing what God said to do. Bad things happened. And I guess one of the reasons that the Lord kind of led me to this message, thinking about Preacher Billy Fields and his family. I mean, a man of God that spent 25 years going to Rhodes, preaching and singing, and one of the best gospel songwriters that's ever lived as far as I'm concerned, and bad things happen. Bad things are going to happen in our life. I was studying this in 1987. An Amtrak train collided with another train and found out that the Amtrak engineer had been smoking marijuana and drinking and was not paying attention. As a result, the train collided. It killed dozens of people and seriously injured others, and he only spent 5 years in jail. In Kentucky some years ago, a drunk driver hit a church activity bus head on, and the fuel tank on the bus ruptured. 27 people, mostly teenagers, died in that crash. The drunk driver served 9 years. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. Sometimes we want to take the law into our own hands. Because I'm just telling you, bad things happen. And guess what? They're going to continue to happen. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world full of sin. We live in a world that people have rejected God. And understand something. And that kind of a world, this kind of stuff's going to keep on happening. But guess what? We still serve a risen Savior. Jesus still sits on the throne. Amen. He is there making intercession for you and I. Glory to God. Even though it seemed bad, even though it seemed hard, Jeremiah's down in his dungeon. Nobody else there to help him. Nobody there to call out on. Nobody there to help him. But understand something. There was somebody that was on his side. I got to think about it as I was studying. Verse 7 through 10 talks about this Ethiopian eunuch named Abedmelech, a stranger. As I was studying this and thinking about this, I wonder how this man might have knew Jeremiah. This Ethiopian, he worked in the king's palace. He was there. He heard the man of God preaching. And understand something. So you might not know. You might not think everybody's listening, but somebody's listening. You might not think nobody's on your side, but somebody's on your side. I'm talking about somebody that he never thought would have come to his aid. I'm talking about somebody that he never thought, he never would have, Jeremiah probably spoke to him. Jeremiah would have probably been nice to him. He didn't know him, but understand, this man came to his aid. This man goes to the king for Jeremiah. He goes to the king and basically says this. He says, King, they throw Jeremiah down in the dungeon. Jeremiah's just preaching the word of God. And if we don't do something, he's going to die in that dungeon. Who's on your side? And let me ask you, let me start here and ask the question. Whose side are you on? If tonight, around midnight, you needed somebody, who would you call? And if tonight around midnight somebody needed you, could they call you? Think about that. We talk about friends. We've all got friends. We all got friends we don't even know about. Hey, amen. I'm just being honest. I know we got a church family, and I believe with all my heart. I consider everybody in here my friend. I believe it. I believe that tonight at 1 o'clock in the morning, if I needed Brother Robert, all I got to do is get on the phone. If I need David, all I got to do is get on the phone. If I need Terry, all I got to do is get on the phone. That's when you're blessed. Amen. Jeremiah didn't have anybody, so he thought. But God had somebody, amen. God had somebody. And then understand something. The one that God had for Jeremiah, he had friends. The king said in verse 10, and the king commanded Abimelech the Ethiopian, saying, take hence 30 men with thee and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he died. 30 men would help. He had 30 men. Listen, just think about this right here. If David broke down tonight around 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning and David called Robert and said, Robert, I need help, would Robert get on the phone and call 30 more people? And all of us show up at David right there. All of us show up where David's broke down on the side of the highway. All 30 of us. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. But think about it. It don't take 30 men to take somebody out of the prison. It don't take, I'll be honest with you. Me and David by ourselves ain't very many people that we can't pull up out of take a rope and lower down and pull them up out. Amen. It don't take but two or three good men to do that. But understand something. Why would it take? As I was thinking about this, and my mind kind of goes all over the place. And sometimes when I'm preaching, sometimes y'all need to let your mind go all over the place. Amen. And I'm not talking about wondering. I'm talking about just thinking about what's going on in the message. Can't you just see? You got two or three. Come here, David. Robert, come here. Y'all get up on stage. Stand on that side over there. Come here, Wes. Stand inside Robert. Stand right there, Robert. Come here, Bro Ralph. Come here, Mike. Come on, Tommy, Charlie. Choose sides. These three men over here are lowering down the rope to pull Jeremiah out. Now, this ain't like working for the county and working for the state. Everybody on this side ain't standing on a shovel. But this thing, I never saw this until I was studying this. These three men over here are working hard. So what are these guys doing? They cheering them on. That's the problem with most of us. They over there working, and most of us, if we ain't careful, we just standing around over here dilly-dallying. We talking about ESPN. We talking about golfing. We talking about this, and we talking about that while they're over there doing all the work. But I'm telling you right now, I believe I had two or three of them pulling the man out of the dungeon. And glory to God, everybody else said, come on, get him out of there. That's the man of God in there. You can do it. Pull on that rope. Come on, come on, come on. Hey, when's the last time you actually cheered one of your friends on? When's actually the last time you actually lifted up somebody instead of putting somebody down? When's the last time you actually was there saying, Tommy, you got this. Robert, you got this. Don't you worry about what the devil, Wes, you got it. Don't you let the devil get in your mind. Charlie, you got it. You've come a long way. We need to encourage each other. Thank you, guys. We need to encourage. They were there for it. It wasn't going to take 30 men to get him out. When was the last time you was an encourager? When was the last time you was down and somebody encouraged you? When was the last time you was down and Jesus encouraged you? I preached this morning about the Apostle Paul, and then I got to thinking about it as I was studying, and I meant to bring this out this morning, but I guess the Lord wanted me to bring it out tonight. You know, Paul was standing before King Agrippa, and Paul said something like this. He said, King Agrippa, I just think myself happy. Glory to God. Ronnie, I love you, and I need you, and I'm here for you, and you're here for me. But glory to God, sometimes I just got to think myself happy. Sometimes I just got to think about how good God's been to me. Sometimes I just got to realize my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I love friends. I'm glad I got friends, and I want to be a friend, but I got a friend in Jesus, glory to God, that sits closer than a brother, amen. Sometimes we ought to just think ourselves happy. Jeremiah's down in this dark place. Now, I want you to notice something. Verse 11. So Abimelech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took thence old cast clouts and rotten rags and let them down by cords to the dungeon of Jeremiah. The Bible says they were under the treasury. In other words, I think they were thrown out with the trash, Brother Robert. They were down there. They were down there in the bottom under the treasury in the basement. Nobody knew they were there, but I'm telling you, there was one person knew they was there, and his name was Abimelech. Cast aside. Nobody, old rotten rags, old cast clout. That is just old pieces of cloth that just discarded. And no, these won't never be used again. Just set them down here. We'll throw it out with the rest of the trash. We'll burn it. Ain't nobody gonna ever use these again. But God had a purpose. If we ain't careful, every once in a while, we'll get in our mind, God can't never use me again. God won't never use me again. I won't never be used by God again. Let me go ahead and tell you something. I don't mind being like with them old rags. I don't mind. Hey, I'll just wait until God needs me. And amen, it might be me that helps out the man of God. The Bible says that Abimelech took all these things and the Lord threw them down to Jeremiah. And he told Jeremiah, he said, take these and put them under your armpits. Understand something. Jeremiah had been cast down into the water, Brother Barry. Y'all know what water does to you. His skin had probably got soft, David. Abimelech, Tommy says, place these under your arms and then tie that rope around you. Because when we start picking you up, it ain't going to hurt as much as when you went in there. When God starts pulling you out and God starts helping you, it ain't going to hurt that much, amen? Hey, we're going to pull you out of this, and it's not going to hurt. When God starts moving, when Jesus starts moving, hey, you can understand one thing. He's going to get me out, amen? The Bible talks about it in Psalm 4. Hey, I was in the miry pit, and glory to God, he lifted me out. He set my feet on a solid rock. He's the one that did it. He did it. He did it. He did it. The Bible says they got him out. These things were no good for nobody else, but it was good for Jeremiah. Let me tell you something, folks. You might not think that you're good for nobody else. And you might not think God can use you. But I'm telling you right now, God's got a purpose for everybody in this building. Robert, God's got a purpose for your life. God's got a goal for you. It might, Wes, it might not be nothing else but helping out the man of God. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. Bible says in Ecclesiastes, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. What's God asking you to do? Now listen, we all got friends. This man right here is my friend. He's not only worked on the deacon board and served this church, he's my friend. When he hurts, I hurt. And when I hurt, he hurts. And I could say that about every man in this building right now. Are you that type of friend? Think about that. Are you that type of friend? We all know we got a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. Amen. But what kind of friend are you? I was studying it looking up, trying to find a good illustration about friendship. And one of the best illustrations I found was when Jackie Robinson was the first black baseball player. He was the very first one in the major leagues. And if you've never seen the old historical documents, or you have never seen the History Channel thing about Jackie Robinson, go back and watch it. This man was ridiculed. I mean, he would go to these big stadiums and play ball, and they would throw stuff at him. They would call him names. They would just jeer and talk down to him. And I think it was in Boston. He was out there. I think he was at second base. I can't remember if he had just got a hit, and he made it to second base, and they were booing him, and they were giving him a fit. And there was somebody, a little Southern boy named Pee Wee Reese, got out in the dugout, walked out there, and stood beside Jackie Robinson and put his arm around him and just sat there till everything got quiet. Basically, he was signifying, this is my friend, and you need to treat him with respect. How many of us would have done that? How many of us would have stood up? Because they're going to talk about you now. Jackie Robinson said he never would forget that Pee Wee Reese was his friend until death, and that because of Pee Wee Reese, he stayed in the major leagues. Folks, we need to be there for each other. We got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Glory to God, his name is Jesus. But I'm going to be honest with you. I can pray to Jesus, I can talk to Jesus, and Jesus can comfort me like nobody else can. Amen. But every once in a while, I just need a friend that I can come sit beside and put his arm around me and say, preacher, I'm here with you. No matter what you're facing, I got your back. I got your back. What kind of friend are you? What kind of friend are you? I want you to bow your heads as they come get us a song.